I would invite you to take your Bibles out and turn to Psalm 23. This past summer, Teresa and I had the privilege of reacquainting ourselves with a good dear friend. It had been some 15 or 16 years since we had last had connection and interaction. And you know how good friends are. Although there may be a great deal of time that separates you, when you're back together, it's like there was no time span at all. It's just a connection. And you pick up where you left off, and you get caught up on the families, and you find out about what's happening, and if there were any surgeries, or the list goes on. And you know, but you just sense immediately that connection. Well, this morning, kind of in a similar way, we've heard Psalm 23. We've heard it several times, even this morning. You've heard it at funerals. You've probably read it countless times. But kind of like an old friend, as we begin this Advent season, we want to revisit this passage because it speaks to us deeply. It connects us in ways that remind us of God's richness and goodness. And so this morning, we reacquaint ourselves with the dear, good, old friend, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This morning we want to look at three truths. In fact, every Christ follower can joyfully trust God with confidence by embracing these three truths. Truth number one, our Shepherd King is a provider. In fact, in verses 1, 2, and 3, we're going to look at three provisions that God, our shepherd, provides us with. In verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. The first phrase of Psalm 23 captures our attention and our hearts. The Lord, the beginning of the psalm, is none other than Yahweh. In Yahweh is really the first name of God, if you will. Some 4,000 times in the Old Testament, Yahweh is used to denote God. We know that Yahweh means I am who I am. It speaks of His timelessness, His self-sufficiency, His sovereignty, His absolute rule and control. God is my shepherd. The Lord, Yahweh Himself. Yahweh in Hebrew is four little letters. And yet when a Hebrew scribe would be writing the Old Testament, when he would get to the word, he would throw his pen away, pick up a new quill, write, throw that away, and then pick up another one and continue writing and copying the Old Testament. That's how sacred the word is. And yet David, who had been through a great deal in his life, said, Yahweh is my shepherd. This morning, my friends, that same Yahweh, God, the timeless, self-sufficient, sovereign ruler of the universe, is your and my shepherd. See, the idea of shepherd really conjures up a lot of imagery, doesn't it? Because we think of, and again, this passage speaks pretty clearly regarding like sheep and leading into pastures. And so we think of that the intimate connection between a shepherd as he leads this flock to different places to eat and to drink. But also what is interesting that in antiquity, the word shepherd was often used of a king or ruler of a nation or a tribe. So maybe in a little deeper way, we could understand that when David says, Yahweh is my shepherd, we could also see it as our shepherd king, our shepherd ruler. God is that. You'll also notice that one little word, my. David points out the significance that Yahweh, the God of the universe, who would seem to be consumed with matters so lofty beyond us, David reminds us, he is my shepherd. Notice the intimacy of that. In fact, oftentimes when a shepherd was spoken of in kind of a connection or relational way in the Old Testament, it was, shepherd is our shepherd. But David makes it very intimate and personal. Yahweh, God, is my shepherd. Notice what he says. I shall not be in want. It literally means I shall lack nothing. The reason David could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, is because the Lord is my shepherd. See, when we begin to grasp the richness of that deep truth in that simple phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, then we realize, if He is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. See, if you have God, you have everything. You really do. Sometimes we think we need other things in life to sustain us. But if God is truly our shepherd, our leader, the one who guides us, we will lack nothing. Because that's what our shepherd king does for us. He provides everything we need. It's a beautiful provision of Himself. The second provision we see in verse 2 is the provision of sustenance. He makes me lie down in green pastures has a twofold meaning. First, it's talking about the comfort God provides us. Like a shepherd would lead his flock to green pastures to bed them down for good sustained rest, God, as our shepherd king, provides us with peace and rest. I realize as we begin this Christmas season, some of you have come and you're going, all right, I'm going to put my time in, but man, I've got a lot to do today. And in the midst of all the hecticness and all of the busyness and the hustle and bustle of the season, remember that the rest that you long for and the peace that you yearn for comes from God. Not a toy, not a party, but from God Himself, your shepherd and my shepherd. He leads us into green pastures. Notice this, not only, and here's the second meaning behind it, is He actually leads us into green pastures to provide us with everything that we need. As a shepherd would lead his flock into a green pasture to lie down so they had nice bedding, they could sleep. Notice that the sheep didn't just go in, oh, this is a great meadow. I think I'll go to sleep. No, they eat. They eat to their fill. In fact, notice the word green. It's not brown. It's not somewhat green. It is green, rich green. These meadows are sustainable. They are the food and the sustenance that a sheep needs to be able to thrive and to grow and to be all that they're supposed to be as a sheep. So our God, our Yahweh shepherd, sustains us. He gives us everything we need. He leads us and makes us to lie down in green pastures. What a beautiful picture. Notice also the imagery here. He leads me beside quiet waters. There's also a twofold meaning here. First, the shepherd would make sure his sheep have a good source of water to sustain their existence. Sheep need to drink. Second, because sheep are so timid and fearful, they are intimidated by loud rushing waters. Therefore, a shepherd needs to take the sheep to quiet waters so that the flock can drink without fear or hesitation. God, our shepherd, knows our timidity. He knows our fears and our apprehensions, and He leads us beside quiet waters, pools of refreshing water, where we can go and we can drink with no fear. He'll lead us beside a stream that is not rushing and is loud and noisy, but a stream that you could just hear the trickle of water pass by. And that trickle of water is His goodness, His kindness, His mercy. He leads us into being able to drink from Him the water of life to the full, never lacking anything. In fact, what we see here is that we can come because God leads us to quiet waters. We can come to God without any fear or apprehension, with every fear on our heart, every heartache, pain, disappointment, and matters of contemplation. We can come and we can drink. Kneel down next to the pool of His grace. Take a deep drink of who God is. He is sustaining. He's more than enough. In fact, as you dip and drink and dip and drink, you can never extinguish the source of the quiet waters of God's grace, mercy, His love, His kindness. The third provision we see in this passage in verse 3 is the provision of restoration and guidance. He restores my soul also means to revive me and to refresh my spirit. God, our shepherd, not only provides for our physical well-being, He also provides for our soul well-being. He revives us, refreshes us, restores our soul. No matter what you face or you will face, God, as our shepherd king, will restore you from the inside out. Will you allow Him to restore you? The idea of restoration also carries with it this little undertow of forgiveness and the restoration that comes by being forgiven by God. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Lets us know that a shepherd is someone who always is leading his flock to safe places. In fact, when I was in Niger, that's one of the things that I marveled. In fact, we actually had to stop traffic in the middle of the capital city because there were cows that needed to get where they needed to go, and sheep that needed to go where they needed to be, and goats, like billions of them. And you know what? Goats, they're shepherds all over the place. As we're driving out to the bush, we saw shepherds leading their goats all over the place. It was amazing. But in a similar way, we know that God leads us. But where does He lead us? Always in paths of righteousness. See, my friends, if we choose to go down a wrong path, you can never lay that at the foot of God. You can never do that because He is never leading us down that path. If you choose to sin and you choose to go wayward and you choose to stray, those are choices you will make. But no, it wasn't God that got you there. It's God who can get you out of there, but He didn't get you there. You did. Because our God, our Shepherd King, always leads us in paths of righteousness. Paths that are connected to Him. Paths that ignite our life to right living according to Scripture. Paths that bring us joy and hope and anticipation. Paths that even in the midst of life's deepest sorrows leads us through that. That's our Shepherd King. Notice it also says, for His name's sake. You see, God leads us down paths of righteousness, not just for us. Oh, we definitely benefit from it. But simply, God's reputation is on the line. God leads you in paths of righteousness because His name's sake is on the line. His reputation is on the line. And my friends, as we collect together as a congregation, our utmost importance is not the reputation of Grace Chapel, but the reputation of our sovereign Shepherd King. His name is on the line when you say that you belong to Him. Always. His reputation. He leads us in these paths so that we can give Him honor and glory and praise. And we can do it uninhibited by the constraints of sin and the worldly pressures. We can do it because He has been leading us in paths of righteousness. Truth 2 this morning. Our Shepherd King is a comforter. In verse 4, we read, it says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In Philip Keller's work entitled, "A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he notes, "A shepherd would move his flock from the lowlands where they were for the winter through the valleys to get to the high pastures where they would graze for the summer. The valleys had a host of potential dangers that might cost some of the sheep their very lives. Flooding was a potential problem. Wild predators were also present as a shepherd would move his flock. They were oftentimes couched in the shadows of the broken canyon walls. All of these dangers made the sheep very, very fearful." We too face valleys, don't we? Might be a loss. Might be a wayward child. It might be health. It might be that you didn't get that job. It might be a host of who knows how many things. But we face valleys in life. In fact, one thing is certain. The Christ follower is never guaranteed a golden road until we step from this life to the next. It's tough. It's hard. But we don't go it alone. There are many dangers, temptations, toils, snares, entrapments. There are many things along the journey of life. And we will face those. You can count on it. But we need fear no evil. Why? Because our second comfort that we see in verse 4 is the comfort of His presence. See, we don't walk it alone. We don't go alone. Our Shepherd King leads us, which means He understands what we're going through. He leads us. We fear no evil. Notice the phrase, "your rod and your staff, they comfort me," is a deeply meaningful statement. You'll notice that on the screen, this might be something what a rod might look like. Actually, it was kind of a shorter stick, if you will, and a shepherd would have it tied to around his waist and he would carry it. It was basically a club. And when predators would come out against the sheep because they were pretty easy game, the shepherd would go to work. See, the rod is a reminder of God's protection for His children. God will beat off the enemy for us. He'll take care of us. We can count on that. He will beat him away. He protects us in ways that we don't even realize. And then you'll notice the staff was the shepherd's walking stick and was used to rescue wayward sheep and to give particular direction to sheep who might stray from the flock. God is not only our protector, but He's our rescuer and our director. He gives us direction. Scripture tells us that the battle belongs to the Lord. Therefore, we need not battle alone and face the difficulties of life by ourselves. We do that with our Shepherd King. He will also rescue us if we go astray. In fact, that's the confidence we have, that if we belong to God, if we're one of His sheep, a part of His fold, if we step out of the fold, He's coming after us. In fact, Hebrews reminds us that if you belong to Him and you step out, He will lovingly discipline you so you know who your Heavenly Father is. And He disciplines out of love. He protects us, rescues us, He comforts us. God is very aware of everything I am and will face, and He will get us through what we need. Truth number three, our Shepherd King is a blesser. The first blessing is that of enjoyment. You prepare a table before me is a beautiful picture of God's blessing. The table is to be pictured full of food and drink. God abundantly provides for His children. Notice it says, in the presence of my enemies, is the fact that He loves and cares for His own, even though there may be enemies in life. God's rich blessings are observed by those who are both your enemies and by God. In fact, there's this feel to the passage that this, God seats us. It's as if He pulls the chair out next to the table of His blessings. He seats us there. And just off in the shadows, outside of the light of the table of God's rich blessings, are our enemies. We sit at a table of blessing. And our stomachs will be filled because God is providing for us. And the enemies in the shadow will look at us with angst and anger and frustration, yet their bellies are empty. Because God has not prepared a table for them. But He has for us. He does that. He is our shepherd. The second blessing is that of plenty. You anoint my head with oil. This phrase has a rich meaning to it. It is difficult for those living in a temperate climate to appreciate, but it was customary in hot climates to anoint the body with oil to protect it from excessive perspiration. When mixed with perfume, the oil imparted a delightfully refreshing and invigorating sensation. Athletes anointed their bodies as a matter of course before running a race. As the body, therefore, anointed with oil, was refreshed, invigorated, and better fit for action. See, God does that. He anoints us with oil. Oil in Scripture is one of the pictures that it represents is that of God's blessing. You'll remember that David, before he ever became king, was anointed as king. Oil was poured over his head to set him apart for the fact that he was going to be king. And you'll notice the phrase, "My cup overflows," is a picture of God's plentiful blessings for His children. There's more than enough to drink at the table of God's incredible demonstration of kindness and grace, mercy and love. In fact, it will never run out. It tells us it overflows. God continues to pour and pour and pour into our cup. So much so that there is a bounty. There's an excess of it. And it flows over the rim, reminding us of how much He has blessed us with. God blesses us with plenty. Next, we see the blessing of goodness and love. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, is reassuring us of God's continued presence. Goodness is God's sustaining provision and blessings, and love here is the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed means loyal, enduring, continuous love. Instead of being fearful of his enemies, David is reminded that God's goodness and loyal, continuous love will follow him all the days of his life. He's not nearly worried about his enemies. God will sustain him. God will love him through thick and thin, through high and low, through disobedience and obedience. God's love is a covenant, faithful, loyal love. And that love is given to each of us that knows Him as our shepherd. And finally, we look at the blessing of Himself. God begins, and David, as he's writing, led by the Spirit, begins with Yahweh, and we end with being kind of capped off, if you will, being reminded of God. and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, is an expression that is much more intimate than a location. The house of the Lord points us to the relationship we have with God. For David, the house of the Lord was where the manifest presence of the Lord was revealed. Therefore, the house of the Lord was about connecting and relating to Yahweh. Relationship is seen through this passage. See? The relationship. Now, I will go to the house of the Lord, and that's where I'm going to be. But you know the beauty of this story? Is that for us in the New Testament, you know where the house of the Lord is? Right here. Because the Spirit of God, the manifest presence of Almighty God, dwells in His children. So my friends, truly the presence of God will reside with you forever. God doesn't take His Spirit away from you. He gives it to us at the moment of salvation, and He sustains it, reminding us that we are the temple of God. His presence will dwell with us, His children, forever. Forever. How comforting. How reassuring. Again, this time of the year, for some of us, brings great joy and a delight and highlight. I kind of get goofy, nostalgic during this time of the year. I don't know what it is. I get a little weepy. There's just so many different things that go on. But it's just a lot of fun. But for some, this is tough. You've lost someone. You come heavy. The Lord is your shepherd too. He understands. He understands you and leads you and guides you and provides for you and protects you. He is more interested and understands you more than you even understand yourself. My friends, that's good news. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have the Africa team come up and share. They're going to share some slides with us. And then to finish, we'll all stand together and we're going to read Psalm 23. Because it is a good friend for you this Advent season. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for being the timeless one, the self-sufficient one. The sum total of all that is of anything. You are it, God. And we thank you that you are intimately interested in being my shepherd. Wow. Thank you. Don't understand why, but you have chosen to lead us. And to shepherd us, to lead me, to shepherd me, to protect. You are so good, God. We are so grateful for who you are. And as we begin this time of the year, may we remember in the quietness of our heart, Yahweh is my shepherd.
I'm Phyllis Olson. Melissa Owen and I are part of a team that's helping to find out where else in the world the Lord wants Grace Chapel to help besides China and Tunisia. When we were at Panera's for a meeting some weeks ago, we were discussing who would go firsthand to look at this area of Africa as a possibility. And I said, well, I won't go. I'm not interested in the trip. I don't like adventure. I like normal. And the words in a rut sound good to me. So I've never been on a missions trip. But when I asked the Lord, He made it real clear that He did want me to go. And it was the trip of a lifetime. What I saw in Niger and Burkina Faso and possibly poor countries, was that everywhere the Lord had been through his people, everywhere he walked through his people, love and hope and help kind of shine out. It's like some wonderful spiritual fire that you see here and there where his people go. All that his people do there, the church, with tireless passion in these Muslim countries, is done in the name of Jesus, to the glory of God. And that hope and love shouts Jesus to the people in this part of Africa. Melissa has some, about half dozen or so pictures that we'll quickly go through just so you can get a little bit of an idea of some of the things we saw.
When I was going through and picking out pictures, it was hard because I had to keep it really short. So, first, I just wanted to show you there's a school in Niger and also a preschool in Niger where kids come, and many of them are from Muslim families, actually, but they're coming because it's a good education, which is hard to come by in these poor countries. So this is just the school, and then the next picture is a classroom at the school. You can see the cute kids there. And then the next picture is the preschool, where they're coming and they're learning about Christ along with their lessons.